Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. I was trying to gather some prayer requests there, so it took a little while before I could get signed in. This morning, folks, the message is the Word is our God, and it's going to come from John, first chapter, and it'll be verses 1 through 3, and then Hebrews 4. And I've got them posted out, folks, and there's some others, but if you put your finger on John 1 for now, we're going to get to the message. I want to do that. I want to get a song going, as always. Let's do this just as I am. We'll play that for now. And as soon as that's over, we'll go into the prayers, folks. Like I said, the message this morning is the Word is our God. We're going to start out in John. So put your finger on chapter 1 of John, and we'll go from there. But right now, like I said, I have a lot of prayer requests this morning. We're going to start out with some from Zena, Montana. She asked for her cousin Rebecca's husband. His name is Ott. He's in the hospital. He's got pneumonia. That's not even the worst of it, though, folks. Ott has stage 4 lung cancer, they found. And because of the treatment, I guess, the chemo lowered his immune system, which caused him to get pneumonia. And he's got cancer, and he has cancer also in his liver. So Ott's not doing well. So please pray for Ott, that the Lord would touch his body and take away all of that, his cancer and his pneumonia. And then she also asked for her Aunt Sarah, which is Rebecca's mother, who was going to get a colonoscopy and an endoscopy this week on Wednesday. So let's hope that that's not a problem any longer because she's had some bleeding issues and the blood work was showing that she needs to be looked at and checked out. And her blood count, her red cells are real low. Please remember her in prayer. And the same with Zena, folks. Zena's mom passed away a little more than a week ago now. Please pray for her to give her the strength and guidance to deal with the grief of the loss of her mom. And then I have a prayer request from Peggy Benning. Her husband is in the hospital. He almost died this week. He's got diabetes, and I guess he forgot to take his meds or wasn't taking his meds or something. The meds weren't working. But anyway, they rushed him off to the hospital, and he was on death's door. And we're not so sure how things are going as of yet, because as of last night, even Peggy wasn't sure how things were working out. She told me right out. She said, please pray for him. She was concerned for his safety. We have some others. Like I told you, there's There's a long list of prayer requests. We have, let's see, Conceta's grandmother. Conceta's grandmother's near in death. She went into a home this past week for blood clots in her legs, and she hasn't been doing good for quite a while. She's had a broken leg. Monica Hernandez is asking for an unspoken for herself. We have Ethan Abbott. Ethan Abbott has been going through a lot of problems, folks. Ethan Abbott's a brother in Christ, and he's done a lot to help others out in the world. He travels around, does what he can to help people with whether it's be working on their farms or working in their house or doing different things. But Ethan's been struggling for a long time now. Please pray for Ethan. Sandy Washer was asking for guidance and strength, or I'm asking for Sandy, actually, for guidance and strength, because Sandy lost her husband this past year, and she's been asking for prayers for others, but I never see Sandy ask for herself. So please watch over Sandy, Lord, and give her the strength to get through those days. For Richard P., Sandy was asking for recovery of his knee surgery. It's been ongoing. Just asked that that would be healed. Ricardo Rose, I guess, is another prayer request of Sandy's for health concerns and getting into a nursing home. Ricardo Rose needs a place to be so she can be cared for and taken care of. Karen, I'm not sure of her last name, but Karen, please pray for her as she battles cancer. She's going through financial difficulties. She's got to pay for all these medications, pretty much most of them out of her own pocket. And we know how that works, folks. Without medications, we're not going to be healed. Not without a miracle from the Lord. So she needs those medications. Urgent prayer for Stacy, for overall health. She's paralyzed from the waist down. She has other issues also, folks, other health issues. This Stacy is looking for help with finances. Let the Lord please send someone to help her with that, to work out the financial situations with insurance. It says she doesn't have insurance. It's a difficult world we live in, folks, when we don't have any kind of help from the outside world to get through these times, especially financially. They're in dire need, folks. The family is asking for people that might be able to help or volunteer with them with chores, with meals, just so that things can be taken care of. Joseph Gray, he's another brother online of mine. He's a good Christian, going through a lot of struggles, folks. As you know, I brought up Joseph a while ago. He had some problems with his hips. The hips weren't working, so he was waiting for a hip. While he was waiting, it was over a year, folks, before they really got around to him. So please pray for Joseph. He's gotten the operation done, but he's still in a lot of pain, and things just aren't right. George Fontan. I think that's how you say his name, Fontaine. His mom passed away a week ago. So did his aunt within days. So, again, another one that needs strength and guidance. And, folks, I ask you to pray for our missionaries, all of them, anyone that you can think of that does the work for Christ, that's a missionary. Anyone that preaches the gospel, anyone that shares the gospel, anyone that goes out and hands out tracts, anyone that does something that would be looked down upon by our world, because our world doesn't want to hear about Christ. Our world actually hates the idea of us talking about Jesus Christ. And there's two friends of mine that I've met online in the last few months, Blaine Michael and Ingram Seaman. They both are great missionaries over in Taiwan right now. They've been handing out tracts. It's Michael's birthday today, Blaine Michael's birthday today. He's 61. If you get a chance, go on Facebook, say happy birthday to him. But please pray for them. It's a struggle when you go out in the world and share the gospel and no one wants to hear it. Folks, I just ask that you would take it upon yourself just today to pray for those in need. We have friends. We have family. There's those that don't want to hear the word. There are those that want to hear the word, but they don't really believe. There are those that just have had struggles throughout their life. That they've turned their back on God because they think he's not listening. He's not there. He's always there, folks. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, all these prayers, that you would bless them, that you would heal them, that you would help those that need the strength and the guidance to get through another day. Every day is a struggle without you, Lord, but with you we can get through anything. It says in your word, it says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we know that's true because he's been working for us in our life, changing us, meaning myself and my family, throughout the years. I thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and just continue to bless us and watch over us as we go through the message this morning. Thank you. Folks, if you go to John 1:1-3, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Father, thank you for letting us get the message out. I want to be able to make this sound as best as I can. I'm no scholar, Lord, but I do know that you use me and you watch over me and you keep me and you use me as a vessel to pour your water upon others. Please use this word to touch their heart today. Thank you. This word that the Bible's talking about is God's inspired word. He spoke to all of the people that have written scriptures. He spoke to all of those that have used the word to witness to others. He's touched hearts with the word. You think about this, folks. Mention the word God to people, and I've said this in the past, and they seem okay with, yeah, they believe in God. Mention Jesus Christ, and there's a lot of people, they don't like that word. So the word has the word, W-O-R-D, the word of God, has an impact on all of our lives. And the reason it has an impact, like I was saying, the world does not want to hear God's word. It's amazing how hard that is to accept that there's a Savior who wants to save you from your sins, who wants to guide you, strengthen you, and heal you, and all you have to do is reach out. Reach out by asking for his help, understand his word, and the word is God, folks. If you read the words from the Bible, you'll find that God is in them, and he guides you and strengthens you. Believe me when I tell you, folks, this is not, the Bible has been around this long because God said his word will forever be. It'll never go away. It'll never be taken out of our world. We'll always have it. In fact, he goes on to say that the word is so powerful that he has put it in our hearts, in us. And if you watch as we go through the message, you'll see. You see, I chose this on accident, folks. I happened to be looking for a message, and I stumbled upon John. And when I did, the first thing that hit me was, the words are God. It says in verse 2, it says, the same was in the beginning with God. You see, in the beginning of time, if you look back in the Bible in Genesis, and most of you know this, God spoke into existence. See how powerful his word is? If God speaks, it happens. God spoke, and the world was formed. And the heavens and the stars and the light and the day and the darkness and the night and the water and the animals and the creatures and man and woman. Because God spoke it into existence. All things were made by him. And without him, it says in verse 3, was not anything made that was made. The word of God's the truth. And all Christians believe in the word of God. If you're a Christian, you believe the Bible to be the truth. You also believe that the Bible, being written as a Christian, you believe that those that wrote it would never lie, would never alter it, would never put in sentences that don't belong there. This world wants us to believe that some man wrote the Bible out of some vision that he got, or whatever, some impression from somewhere, and he just wrote down these words, and all of a sudden people started believing them. Wouldn't that be great if you had that kind of power? For you, it might be great. For me, I'd have to wonder, is Satan trying to get in there? Because I know that the word of God is the only true word. Anything man says creates a stumbling block for others. If it's not from God, then where is it from? You've heard me use that phrase in the past, too. You can serve one master or the other, but you'll never serve both. You'll hate one, for sure. You'll love the other. I beg of you to love the Lord. And see his word and read his word and get to understand it so that you can know God and have God in your heart. The word of God is the truth, I said. And in Genesis, we know that because when he said he spoke them into creation, where did all this stuff come from if God didn't create it? Some would say the Big Bang Theory. Oh, there was just two crash of planets and all of a sudden things happened to have grown and seeds happened and animals were formed and bodies were there. And how does this happen? Science doesn't even have that answer. But the Bible sure does. The Bible says God created all. Science can't come up with the real answer. Oh, they'll baffle you with their brilliance. But that's all they're doing is baffling you. The truth of the word is right in the word.
It says, my word, I hide in your heart. You know right and you know wrong. You've seen me say that many a times. Where do you think the right and the wrong comes from? Some would say, oh, well, I learned that from my parents. Well, that's pretty funny. Where do you think they got it from? And so on and so forth, and their parents, and down the line, all the way down the line. Because if we go back to with the biblical times, our ancestors, some of them were pretty violent, and how many were you related to then? Some of them didn't like Jesus and hung him on a cross. Were you one of them? Was your family one of the ones that beat him so severely, so badly, and poked him with a spear and let him bleed? Ask yourself, so who taught you right from wrong? Who taught you to love the Lord? Now look here, let's go down further. In Hebrews 4:12 it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. You think about this. The word can separate you from right from wrong. The word is so sharp that it'll cut through your bones and take away the ones that are no good. Like the Bible talks about the vine and the branches. He separates the good from the evil. He teaches you right from wrong. He shows you how powerful he is, because the word is our God. He's not just our God. He's our guiding power. Now, there are some that'll say, well, you know, if you believe that, that's fine, but back when, there were many gods. Oh, there are many gods. Yeah, there are, with a little g. And you know why they get a little g? Because they don't have as much importance or meaning in life. Because they don't have the power of the big G, God. Because God's word is so powerful that if you read it, it will change you. And the reason it changes you is because in your heart, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. That's your choice, whether you believe in the God with the big G or you believe in that minuscule God with the little tiny g. And if you think I'm kidding, you keep following the way you go in life, and you'll see that there is no real joy or pleasure in your life, and you'll be asking yourself in due time, what is all this for and why am I wasting my time? Well, you're wasting your time because you don't serve the right God. We count on the word of the Bible to be the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Meaning it can cut through the truth, it can cut away any doubt, it'll teach you from right from wrong, and it does this, it shows you the truth. If a person's willing to take the time and study the Bible to any degree, they'll find out the truth. Because God's word's the Bible, and it's inspired by God. It's written by God. It's put in the minds of the men that put it on paper, and back then they used parchment, which was bark. They wrote these things down because God said, write these instructions down. Like the Ten Commandments with Moses, like the commandment Jesus gave. These things were written down so that you and I will have that in our heart, and the Word of God will live on forever. All the writers of the Bible were chosen by God. None of them were just somebody wandering along and came up with a vision or an idea. Why do you think these books were so important and they kept them in vaults for years and protected them? Because they knew they were the truth. Look at here, Titus 1:1-3, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, that means us, that means those that God chose, that means those that wrote the Bible, the apostle, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul was elected by God to give us some knowledge of something. The knowledge of what? The knowledge of how to get saved, the knowledge of what it means to be able to go to heaven and live in peace forever, without having to go to hell. And the knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness. Verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, he promised before the world began. God said he created us. Why would you create something if you want to destroy it? You don't do that. A right-minded person doesn't build a new home and then go set fire to it. A right person doesn't build something and never make use of it. Verse 3, it says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. This was Paul saying it, but this is me saying it now. Paul said it in the scriptures, but hath in due times manifested whose word? God's word. Through what? Through preaching. through Sharon, through the ministries, through the people that ask for prayer. God's word touches people's lives, and God's word is God, because God said his word will heal you. And if his word will heal you, who's doing the healing but God himself? He says here, he says, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior, in verse 3, that means he commanded us to share the gospel. That means he commanded us to share God with others. How do we share God if we're not sharing the word? And if we're not sharing the word, we're not sharing God. So the two go together, because God is the word, God was the word, stay the word, always. If you look here, it says, I wrote down, it says, we as believers in Christ Jesus place our whole life and trust to the Lord. That's where our faith is. And we have learned to do so by the written word. The only reason we even know Jesus Christ is because it was written down. Because this world would love to destroy the word of God. Because without the word, there cannot be any knowledge of God or Jesus Christ. Without the Bible, what would we have? We'd be following Satan for sure, because the world wants us to follow them. You think about that, folks. Without God, where would we be? Be a violent mess, this world, because it has to have the stability of right and wrong. This world wants to destroy the word, folks. They've tried so hard to corrupt it. They've tried to throw it out. You look around us, you can see what's going on around you. And the world is still continually trying to get people to do things that Satan wants them to do. And they say, well, this is how I am. I was born this way. No, you chose to be that way. Whether you're a thief, a robber, a crook, an adulterer, whatever you want to call it, a transgender, a gay, a lesbian, that's a choice, folks. You choose to turn your life to something you choose as an emotional feeling or emotional belief to do what you want to do with your life. Like I said, be it a crook, a pedophile, a thief. I don't care if you're a murderer, a rapist, or a gay, lesbian, or transgender, or whatever. That's your choice. Just like it's my choice as a Christian to believe in Jesus Christ and follow the truth. Which world are you wanting to believe? You want to end up in heaven and believe in God? Or do you want to go believe this world, its little pagan God, with a little g, and end up just like the world, going to hell? This world's fallen, folks. The only way we overcome this fallen world is through Jesus Christ. Psalms 119:11 says this, the word I have hid in my heart. And the writers of that, most of the scholars back then, believed it was David that wrote this. Now, there's a couple others they think maybe, but most of them believe it was David that wrote, thy word I have hid in my heart. He hid God in his heart. David did wrong, and he knew it, but he turned and repented from his sins. And he asked for God to continue to watch over him and protect him and bless him. David's the longest of all. This scripture writer, of Psalm 119, is one of the longest or the longest chapter in the whole Bible, and tells how the person has hidden the word in their heart, which means the person had to have read it, because if you don't read the word, how could you know it? How could you put it in your heart? How could you continue to bless yourself by keeping it there and using it in a daily walk? And every time sin comes in, you remind yourself, I'm sorry, I can't do that because I'm a Christian. If you've studied the word, you would treasure the word because you know the word is the truth. And most of all, folks, believe this. God's word is a word of commandment. And he says to you, if you do these things, I'll bless you. You'll have peace. You'll have love. You'll have kindness. You'll have joy. You'll have a better life. It doesn't mean you won't struggle. It doesn't mean you won't struggle, folks. Not at all. But it does mean this. When those struggles come, you'll know to turn to God for strength and guidance. In Hebrews 8:10, it says this. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Who do you think he was talking to? If you're listening to me preach right now, you just heard God speak to you. I didn't write those verses. When I preach to you on Sunday, folks, These messages are from God to you. Yeah, I give you my words when I'm using them, but God works through me to make sure you get them. I didn't write this verse in Hebrews 8:10. I didn't write this covenant, this agreement, this contract. He says, I will make the house of Israel after those days. He's going to create heaven when all this is over with. And where will you be? He says, I'll put the laws into their mind, right and wrong. He's put them in your mind already. You know to do right. You know to live right. And those are his words. This is God in you. The Holy Spirit comes into you the day you ask for Jesus Christ to be your Savior. It says it right in the Bible. He says, if I go away, I will send someone to be your comforter. He says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in God, he will send the Holy Spirit to work in you, to guide you and strengthen you, to keep you on the right path. And he has, and he will continue to do that. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, with a capital G it's written. And they shall be to me a people, because what? My sheep hear my voice. I thank you for letting me get that out to you. And here's one for you, folks, in John 1. In the beginning, again, it says, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I've given you the Word. You now know God. You have God. I've shared it with you. The choice is yours. Will you serve him, or will you turn your back on him? Will you continue to be that person you've always been? If you're a non-believer, it's time for you to change. It's time for you to get right with God. Thank you for letting me share with you. God bless you, and thank you. Lord, thank you for watching over us and keep us throughout this day. And thank you for the prayers, Father. We just lift them all up to you and ask you to pick those people up and guide them and strengthen them, give them the strength. And those that will go home or have gone home, Lord, that we ask that you watch over them and keep them safe throughout. Thank you, Father, for this message. And in Jesus' name, we just ask everyone, please continue to listen. Continue to look at your Bibles and understand. We have one more song for you this morning, folks. It's in the Sweet By and By. It'll play into archives, folks, because the message is done. So it'll be finished off in there. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook, William Preacher Bill Barnes. Thank you for being here, and God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you for coming out.